Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 250. Oh, my God. 250 episodes of this crap is what y'all are probably thinking. Or you're probably not. I don't know if you've listened to... If you've listened to all 250 episodes of this show, I applaud you. I want to ask you so many questions. I am just shocked beyond belief that anyone could ever do that. I'm shocked that I've recorded that many episodes of this podcast alone. Add on all the other podcasts I've done, and it's well over 500 episodes of... Anyway, this here should be a exciting, special, spectacular episode, but it's gonna be nothing like that at all. It's gonna be one of the I don't want to say worst episodes. It's just I've been really struggling to try and find a game to play. I've been in kind of a rut, and I can't seem to find anything I want to play because I have finally freed myself from the shackles that Metal Gear Solid had me imprisoned with. But I don't know what to play now. I've kind of forced myself out after playing a lot of Horizon 2, and after getting all the boards and whatnot, I kind of just got pooped, because now I'm at the point where I'm just going to be replaying the various, not contests, the various, what are they called? I've already completed the Horizon Championship, so now I have all the mini championships to do all over again, to just do the big one again, and then do those all over again. That's basically where I am in the game. And I've completed the first two... What are they? I can't remember the name. The bucket list. I've completed the first two sets, and now I just have the ones where I have to beat the developers at their own game, so... They're all pretty much hard missions. I kind of pooped out on that. You know, I don't really feel like going to Forza 6 right now. And I don't know what to play now. And I feel Metal Gear pulling back in me. And I put it back in today, and I'm like, oh, I kind of want to do this. But I don't. And I've thought about playing Halo, because I've been meaning to go through all the past Halo games to get caught up for Halo 5, even though I'm not going to be getting Halo 5 at launch, or probably anywhere close to launch at this point. But that's such a commitment, because that means that I have to play, and I do have the Master Chief Collection, so I could play a good chunk of them there, but that means I have to play Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo Reach, and Halo 4. I'm more than happy to play ODST again, because that is my favorite Halo game. I'm not sure how important that is to the story. And then there's also Halo Wars, which I don't know story-wise where that falls and how it ties into everything else. Also, I've been told that Halo 4, the story, it requires, or to get the full benefit from it, I guess, or full effect of it, you have to go outside of the games and read a book or two in the whole extended universe of Halo to get what's actually going on in the game, which, if that's true, no, I don't want to do that. That's great for people who are already super invested in the series and the world, but no Halo game other than ODST has ever captured me enough to make me want to explore the world and just get more of it. I did pick up the first graphic novel, I believe, when it came out, because I remember it being hard to find, and I saw it, and I was like, yeah, and I think it might have been on sale. I was like, double yeah, but I don't remember liking it. I also have the Halo, I think, Legends Blu-ray, which I actually kind of really like, but there's a lot of weird stuff in there. There's one that's, I think, that's that collection of a bunch of short animated features. And I think one of them on there is super anime heavy and it involves dinosaurs and kids with superpowers. I don't know. But it was an interesting little thing. Sort of like Animatrix for Halo. But that's just a lot to commit to. That's a whole bunch of games, a whole bunch of hours. And I don't know if I really want to do that. Plus, I kind of want something I can play with only half my brain, so I could listen to podcasts, catch up on those and other stuff. And I just don't want to be so super focused on any particular game right now. But yeah, so what I ended up doing was I just started playing game after game after game after game after game for anywhere from 5 seconds to 50 seconds to 5 minutes to, I don't think I played any game for 5 hours, but I just kind of went all over the place. And I'm just going to go through every single game that I played for even the briefest of moments. All of these I played on the old Xbox One. So, shut up, stop listening. So, I mean, there are some games that I keep playing every day that are just kind of like free to play and whatnot, like the Frozen Freefall stupid match game. I started playing that military free to play game, which is like especially garbagey. Why is this thing running so slow right now when I need you to run well, you stupid program? What is it? What is it called? I don't know. Everything's broken. Nothing wants to work right now. Come on, what is your deal? Okay, I'll just close you and reset you. Great radio. I hope to see Goosebumps later. That's just me talking about poop and stuff while I wait for the Xbox app to reload and get... What? Every time I see that hamburger eating a hamburger picture on Xbox, it makes me think of Rob, because that's his profile picture, but it's not a unique thing to him, and it bugs me. So everyone else, if you're not Rob, stop using that. So Battle Islands, that's the name of the other free-to-play military focused game that I've been playing that's not really that good. It's actually kind of bad. The one thing that sucks about all the free-to-play games pretty much is that they all are not HD. They all look terrible on the Xbox One. And it's not the biggest bummer, but it's a bit of a bummer. So I went back to Threes, played some of that, and then I stopped playing it because it was just like, whatever. I need to look up the actual strategy on how you get that working and whatnot. I started playing Beach Buggy Racing, which is a kart racer like Mario Kart or Sega All-Stars Racing. And it's surprisingly not terrible. I'm pretty sure it came out on mobile first. And it is, the style of the visuals is very blocky, super stylistic. But it doesn't look terrible. It's sharp at least. It's not blurry or muddy. It's colorful. There is a variety in the courses. The characters have their own unique abilities, but the controls are not perfect. They're a bit stiff. I don't feel like I have as much control over the carts as I would like, but for a game that I think is regularly priced around $10, and I think I picked it up when it was about $6, not really upset about that purchase. It's a pretty solid game, and I'm happy with it. I need to play more of it, of course, but from what I've played, it's not too shabby. Could it be better? Yeah, but compared to $60, $50 full price games, it's pretty damn good. I tried to play that, I think it's an MMO, Onigiri, something with like a pink-haired girl anime-looking thing that I don't even know if it's been localized in English. But yeah, that's a thing. Played the Deer God, which is, I think it might still be the free... No, it's not. It's no longer one of the free games. It was one of the free games. And I don't get this game. I don't understand what it is, what the point of it is. It starts off, you're a hunter, and you're lining up. This is all cutscene in the game. Cool cutscene, in quote. And you're lining up a deer in your crosshairs, and you shoot, and a baby deer gets in front of your bullet and gets killed. And at the same time, you didn't realize that a pack of wolves were sneaking up on you in your campsite, and they kill you. And then this deer god, I guess, is like, you have to pay for your sins, and you get reincarnated as a deer, and then you just go to the right, and you keep going to the right, and I don't see what else there is to do other than go into the right, and I just ended up killing everything, because all you can do is jump and, like, lunge attack at enemies, and you can eat food that regains your stamina, that also affects your health or something, I don't know. You kill things, and then you have a good and bad meter, and I got the achievement for being, like, super devilish, and I just went around killing everything. You can kill just bad things, like alligators and other things, like snakes or whatever, or you could go around killing everything, which is what I did for no real reason, because I didn't see the point of the game. There are also skeletons and magic things that happen as well, which I'm like, okay, what is this garbage? You die, you come back as another deer. And sometimes I would come back as a porcupine. And when that happened, I wouldn't understand what the hell's going on. I'd basically just have to wait to die again because I was unable to jump. And I would be stuck in situations where I couldn't progress anywhere, even though there's no progress to be made because it's just moving to the right and no goal as far as I could tell. There's a point, I think, where I had sex with another deer and had a baby, and then it said I would always come back as the baby of myself. But that didn't seem to change anything at all. It's also a bit buggy, where I would get stuck in situations as the deer, and I was unable to jump out of them, but then magically I was able to jump higher or something, and finally got out of areas. There are parts where you're, like, swimming, and then I get stuck under areas, and I'm just... The water areas in the game look really, really crappy because it basically has the background and everything reflected on the water, which doesn't work in the art style. Maybe they could have adjusted it a bit and changed the tones or the shade somewhat, but they don't. So it just looks like there's a mirror image of the background now on the bottom of the screen, like the plane where you walk on. It just looks like the ground has disappeared, like it's just bugged out and that's gone, and now you just see the background and nothing else, and it looks really weird and it looks broken, and I don't know if that is because that part is broken or if that's just the style they chose. Like, they thought, this looks cool. You know, it looks like it's reflecting on the water. I'm like, no, it doesn't, because it doesn't look like there's any water there. It just looks like you deleted the freaking foreground. I don't... So, it's a weird game. I don't understand it. I don't like it. It doesn't make any sense. Dear God, what the hell is the Dear God? Please, someone tell me what it is, why I should care. Should I like it? Do people like this? I don't even know. Did most people like it? Because I can see why it was free for a month. Because it's not a game I would want to pay for. It's pretty... I don't get it. I just don't get it. I played a little bit of Styx, Master of Shadows finally. Which, visually, I was like, oh, this doesn't look that bad. Especially remembering that it came out, I think, a decent while ago. It's not a launch title, but I think it was closer to launch than not. It looks good. I don't know if it's a good game. It felt like it was a bit finicky, mechanic-wise. It just seems like a stealth thing where once I get my knife back, I'll be able to kill things. Played some Castle Crashers. I finally went through the trouble, not much trouble, of uploading my save on 360. Then got that on my One, and I forgot how much fun Castle Crashers is. And it reminded me of how it would be really nice to get a new side-scrolling beat-em-up, because side-scrolling beat-em-ups are fun. I mean, like Scott Pilgrim and... what was it? I mean, the Dirty Samurai or whatever. Deadly Samurai games were okay, but Charlie Murder, that was really fun too. So I'd like more games like that in this gen, or just make all those backwards compatible, because I'm sick of turning on my 360. And I've really come to love the Xbox One controller. Yeah, the one problem I had with them is the same thing that everyone's had with them, which is the shoulder buttons, but they've really grown on me, and part of it may be that you just need to break them in, and two, I think maybe just being so used to the 360 controller made it difficult to transition, because while they are similar in many ways, the shoulder buttons are, they were a substantial change in an otherwise unchanged controller. And that's a bit jarring. It's like, oh, why are you changing this? Because the 360 controller before the One was my favorite controller. And now I've kind of grown to really like the added size that they of the shoulder buttons on the Xbox One controller. And they just feel nice. After going back and playing some 360, those are just kind of like tiny and more, I don't know if it's clicky is the right word, but I don't know. I've really come to love the One controller, you know, shoulder buttons and all. I also played Pool Nation FX. Nothing there. Nothing to talk about there. Stealth Inc. 2, A Game of Clones, which I played that for about 15 seconds and just moved a bit and then got into a container area where, like, I was getting scanned, and then I was like, I don't feel like messing with this game right now. So I didn't really play that game at all. Not really. I think that's it. I'm looking at this list of all the games I just kind of dabbled in. I charged up my Vita for the first time in a while, and I was like, oh, yeah, this. Played some of Hot Pursuit, I believe. One of the Need for Speed games. And yeah, the game's okay, but I just was reminded of how much I really like the Vita as a piece of hardware. It's so nice. The back touch is stupid, of course, but that Vita is so nice, and I really wish it was more supported. I wish PlayStation just didn't kind of throw it out there to die, and there were other... I don't think this had a huge factor in its selling / not selling, but I really wish they didn't go with the whole proprietary memory card nonsense, because that's garbage. Because with a platform that really embraced, I think, the digital age before a lot of things. I mean... not, it just kind of, while it had physical media, I think, compared to like the 3DS, it was much more digital friendly right off the bat, but not so much with the whole fact that you need to buy a memory card, and they were just ridiculously priced, and are still ridiculously priced. But I think, well, at least for me, the biggest problem with the Vita is that the saves for your games are tied with the actual game installs. So you download a game and say it's 4 gigabytes in size, and you're playing it, you have your save with it, and you want to delete that game for now so you can put on some other games, and then you'll come back to that game. Well, your save is tied with that file, that 4 gigabyte file for the game. So if you want to keep your save, you're going to have to hook your Vita up to your computer and transfer the whole file. And that's just annoying. That's a stupid system. I don't think they ever changed it, because I don't know if they have the ability to change it, because I don't know how good the not developers, the engineers over at PlayStation are with some of the things that they have issues with hardware-wise, but and software-wise, but I don't like that. It's a really, really annoying system. It doesn't make any sense. It just makes content management really difficult and more time-consuming than it should be, and I think for a lot of people who wouldn't even realize that that is the case, they would just get annoyed and not understand what happened and why their save is gone. And I've really come to love having, while I'm not a huge fan of the cloud, having my saves in the cloud is a great thing. I love that about the Xbox One, that it just automatically does that and it automatically gets it. So I don't even have to be like, no, my save for this game is on this hard drive, which is what I have to do with 360. But that's pretty much it game-wise, because I'm all over the place and I still don't know what to do. Oh, God, I don't want to go back to Metal Gear, but that might happen. Please let there be something, like, awesome in the sales coming out today. I do kind of want to go back to Vita as well and play something not racing-wise. I want to play a dating sim, and the reason why is because of an anime I started watching. So let's just jump right into that. So, I finished Natsume's Book of Friends, the first season. Really enjoyed it. Like Mushishi, it doesn't have much of an end. It's even less of an end than Mushishi. Mushishi was sort of, okay, life will just go on as usual, while Natsume's Book of Friends was just this kind of, hey, remember all these kooky characters we met across the first season? Well, here they all are. Here's a festival and everyone you've known and come to love. Maybe you hate some of them. Well, they're all back. Yeah. I'm like, oh, whatever. That's fine, I guess. I don't think it's a great way to end the season. But there's more seasons, so that's okay, I guess. But the other show I started to watch, in addition to the current season, the current seasonal anime, is The World God Only Knows Season 2. I loved the first season, and then I just kind of didn't continue because I wanted to watch other shows. I didn't want to just dive deep into one show at a time because I knew there were three seasons and some OVAs. So I watched that, and I finished it, and I really, really enjoyed it. But it's weird. It's weird in the way it begins and the way it ends, in that it just sort of starts back with all your characters, but it kind of ignores the last episode of the first season, which I can't remember that much, but all I know is he basically, like, killed himself trying to hit his backlog of games. And I read some discussions on the last episode of the first season. People were talking about how it was all just a hallucination. I don't remember if that was, like, really out there, like, if they made that clear or if that is the case. But either way, I was like, I don't care, whatever. And then also, the second season ends in a very kind of open way, but it makes some sense in that I feel like, because I think they knew they had a second season before the first season ended, and I'm thinking they might have known they had a third season before the second season ended, and that makes some sense because the second season literally ends in a way that's basically saying, this is only the halfway point. Essentially, it's basically saying, the third season's going to be the final season. The third season's where you're going to get all the answers you want. That's where ship's going to go down. And I don't know if the third season ends in a very satisfactory way, because I've heard people wanting a fourth season, and they might just want it because it's a really good series so far. I mean, the first two seasons I really liked, but Yeah, it's just a really fun show. So forget the first and last episode of the second season now. It's just kind of more of the same, but it's just a really, really fun, sometimes clever anime. I think I like the first season more. But the second season is really good. If you are a gamer, they have a lot of little throwbacks and nods to gaming culture, not just the dating sim culture, but of course they do play that up a lot. But it's just a really fun show with enjoyable characters and no one I particularly... The thing that is really nice about it is that while the main character is not... He's a bit antisocial in a way. I don't know if that is exactly the right term, but he's not your super pleasant character in that he's a very monotone. He doesn't have the biggest personality. He's kind of like me, a bit off-putting, but he can show some thought, but not as much as other characters like What's-His-Face from the Comedy Snafu. But yeah, it's just a fun show, and I really, really enjoy it. There was a bit of a throwaway episode. Not throwaway, just I'm not the biggest fan of filler episodes in short seasons, so those are always kind of, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, I watched it all in a few days, so that's telling. And I'm excited to watch the third season. I'm thinking about actually just doing that. But I think the OVAs take place between the second and third season, so I have to double check that first. But yeah, The World God Only Knows is season two is another winner. Though the OP, the new OP, don't like that song at all. Garbage. But it's hard to top a OP that is one of the best OPs I've ever heard. It's one of my favorites from the first season. And I know it's not standard to keep a song for an entire run through various seasons, but I wish they would just do that. Especially since, I mean, that song has the title in it, basically. God only knows. Yeah, it's so good. Why change it? But yeah, definitely worth checking out. So, seasonal anime. I don't have much to talk about because I'm just going to point out things that have really kind of rubbed me one way or another. One Punch Man, still a hell of a lot of fun. It's like super, super, super duper fun. And just, I love how he's just, whatever his name is, I don't even know the main character's name, Mr. One Punch. I just love how he's so nonchalant about everything. Just like, whatever. Super strong. And there's part of it that, what does it remind me of? But it reminds me of some character who gets really upset about the dumbest things that seem like, why are you getting upset about that when this thing is trying to destroy the world? And he, like, in this last episode, he's in this battle with this super modified, essentially like the peak of human evolution, and he finds out that the day he's fighting the monster on, not the next day, is the day of the supermarket grand sale. And he's like, oh god, I'm gonna miss it. I gotta destroy this guy right away and hopefully still get some deals over at the supermarket. And that's just funny. It's an enjoyable, silly little show. And I really dig the animation. I love the style. I love how simplistic his face is for most of the time. But when he gets super serious, then it gets really like Dragon Ball-y and just very detailed and scratchy and serious. You know, it's like he puts on a serious face when shit gets serious. And the other show that I really want to mention. What is it? Yutowaru Mono Itsuwari no Kaman, whatever the hell it's called. That show is just weird. I don't know where it's going, but it's okay. I just, knowing that it's a full 25 episode season, is something that has me more open to the fact that I don't know what's going on so far. But Comet Lucifer, that's a show I really want to talk about, because I've been on board since the first two episodes, and this third episode, it didn't make me say I'm done with the show, but it really annoyed the hell out of me. I'm not a fan of the third episode of Comet Lucifer, and I also don't know where the show is going, because I'm pretty sure it's only a 12-episode season, and it just feels like I don't know if they're going to be able to wrap everything up in 12 episodes. You know, we're already a quarter of the way through the season, and it's like, you're still just building things up, and it's only 3 episodes of a 12-episode season, so of course they're still building things up, but I don't know, there's just something about it that feels like it's still got a while to go before it's fully built up, everything that's going on in this world. But what I didn't like about Comet Lucifer is that it had one of my most hated kind of anime tropes, stereotypes, commonalities, which is the super, 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 super crazy, crazy, crazy antagonist. You just have this ridiculously insane character who's just out of his mind, out of their mind, to such an incredible degree that it's not fun to watch. They're not, for me, those kind of characters are not even fun to hate. They're just so beyond annoying that I can't even. And I wish he was killed, but he wasn't. He was subdued, and then he was picked up by that one guy to join his team. He was recruited by that dude who controlled the mech in the first episode, the first and second episode in that battle in the beginning. I didn't think they were going to do it, and then they did it, and he got so ridiculously crazy, and it was the worst. I mean, at least I guess he didn't. I don't remember him doing any kind of like licking his lips or anything like that, or the whole like tongue slurp. I kept calling the girl Mademoiselle, my Mademoiselle. I want to make you scream. I want to. Don't like it. Don't like it. Garbage. Poopa. Poopa. I poop on you. I poop on you. Comet Lucifer episode 3. You stupid episode. Why did you have to be so stupid? The Asterisk War. It's funny how I remember the whole controversy with that and the Chivalry Fail Knight or whatever it's called. And now, when I try to think about the two shows and which one's which, I do struggle to remember what's part of what. The only thing that really sticks out as the big difference is that I'm pretty sure with Chivalry of a Failed Knight, that's the one where it's about like your upper class girl and then your lower class guy, and they're clashing and they might be forced to live with each other, and there's definitely more disgusting fan service in that show, I think. While the Asterisk War has your main character trying to figure out what happened to his sister, and he has her weapon, and he's super powerful, and some other nonsense. But the Asterisk War is prettier. And I haven't watched the third episode of The Failed Knight yet, so I don't know what direction. That's the one that also had the weird sister relationship. So, no matter what, I don't think either show is particularly great. Well, I think Asterisk War is passable. It's kind of very standard, but it's pretty and it's fine. It's very standard. Failed Knight, hot trash with weird sister things going on. I don't like that kind of nonsense. The sister complex. And more disgusting fan service, and not particularly pretty visually and artistically. That's, I think, pretty much it. I also watched the second episode of that 35th Cavalry or whatever that one show is. And that was, it's kind of started to pique my interest a bit. And I have to say one thing about this season that I realized. I said right off the bat that there weren't many shows that I really hated and that I was kind of more hopeful about this season than the last one, and that I was kind of pleasantly surprised by how I wasn't particularly bothered by most shows. But at the same time, nothing has really grabbed me that much like shows in previous seasons. So I don't know what to make of it. When I'm thinking about this fall season and what shows have really grabbed me and I'm like super invested in already, there's One Punch Man. Love that. Then there was Kamen Rider Lucifer. I don't know what's going to happen with that because I'm sure it's just a one episode issue, but then there's Noragami Arigato, which that's just a continuation of a series I already love, so I wouldn't count that as, it's not that it's not part of the season, but I'm strictly talking about new series, about things grabbing me or not. And then I can't think of really anything else that's grabbed me. I'm trying to think. I'm looking at this list right now, and yeah, what? No. I mean, maybe Brave Beats will grab me for just being how, being super weird. I've only still seen the first episode, though. Concrete, whatever, Concrete Revolutio, which is just too all over the place and too complicated for its own good. There's still Ushio Totoro, but again, that's a continuation of the summer season. So, I just realized I haven't started picking up the Seraph, no, whatever, the vampire one. I need to go check that out. I think it's back on. Awari no Seraph, season 2, or continuation of season 1, or whatever it's called. But yeah, this season so far has been kind of just meh. Really just meh. Nothing stands out. As good or bad, for the most part. There are some shows that are not particularly, are like especially bad, but then, yeah, nothing really grabs me. And that's really kind of disappointing. It may mean I end up catching up with a lot of series, more so than even last season, which could be nice, but at the same time, I would like to really be enamored by something new as well, other than One Punch Man, which I just adore right now. But I don't know, maybe give it a halfway point and something will surprise me. And like I said, there are some shows that I just feel like they still need, they're still going through the building up phase. But yeah, nothing there. I don't think there's really good sort of romantic comedy or just kind of romantic themed show this season. Trying to think, you know, like an Ore Monogatari or something. I don't think there is anything this season, and that's like my genre of choice in all mediums, so that's a bit disappointing. But yeah, that's it anime wise so if y'all have any suggestions for video games that I should play, I would highly, highly recommend you give them to me. I would be greatly appreciative of that as well. But that's it, and that's all for this here very, very kind of nothing too special 250th episode. So, yeah. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Kush3. No, why did I go? Rewind that nonsense. I am on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and Xbox Live at PX Sausage. And speaking of Xbox Live, they need to introduce a feature where you can report someone for being a spammer. because right now I'm trying to report occasional people who message me, hey, here's get this 48-hour code or whatever. I'm like, I want to report them. I can't report them for anything other than like the way they play games. Like, oh, unsporting content, quit early, their way they talk. I'm like, none of this is accurate to what I need to report them for. What is wrong with you? So that would be a nice feature. But yeah, I'm on all those places at PX Sausage. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. I do another podcast all about the video games where I'm a co-host along three other fine gents who all play more games than me and are much more versed, and they have way more to say about games. And that's called Pixelated Radio, which you can also find on Pixelated Sausage, which y'all should definitely check out if y'all haven't already. And speaking of games, I will just point out that, and there's a post with a trailer on the site, Hard West. Just found out about this game. It's coming out in 2 weeks. $20 on Steam. Of course, if you pre-purchase it, get 20% off, so it's a little bit cheaper. But it basically looks like XCOM meets a Western genre, like a Western version of XCOM. Weird West, so there are demons and stuff like that in this version of the Wild, Wild West. And I guess it was a Kickstarter game. It's from a Polish studio, which, go Polacks, fellow Polacks. But it looks good. I'm hoping to get my hands on it fairly soon. Be able to review it for y'all, but, yeah, I'm super excited about that, having only found out about its existence this morning, because I don't really follow Kickstarter games anymore. But yeah, definitely check that out. Watch the trailer. Looks pretty cool. I'm digging it. I think it might be from the person who wrote some cool games like Call of War series and something else. And I think the score is from the same person who did the score for The Witcher 3, because that's from a Polish studio, of course, as we all know. But yeah, and another video game podcast, speaking of video games still, that y'all should check out, is the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com. They just posted an episode, and they talk about a lot of cool stuff, and how Craig is such a huge fan of The Swindle, and how Rock Band is Rock Band, and rock your socks off. If you're into racing, check out the Sports Car Unleashed podcast at scunleashed.com, and if you're into nonsense, definitely check out the Undercover Unitards podcast at undercoverunitards.com. Hotcakes Man beat you to the boards in Forza Horizon 2. How you like them apples? I saw how you like them in your little comment. Not nice. Not nice. But who cares? I still won. And that's pretty much it. If you have any questions or comments or whatnot, please leave a comment on the post for this podcast or tweet at me. That's always the best way. Or if you're feeling like super old, you can email me, psp@pixelatedsausage.com. Or super courageous, you can even leave voicemail, 312-772-5874. That is, again, 312-772-5874. And that's gonna do it for this here 250th episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Yep. Bye bye, everybody. It's not Mario. Wah-oh, oh, boo.